friends, it's very good to be with you on this Palm Sunday. I'm honored to share God's word with you as we begin the most sacred week of the church's year. It's not really until the 4th century, after the Nicene Creed has been developed, that Holy Week is part of the church's calendar. Normally, the early church just celebrated Easter Saturday and Easter Sunday. But the church leadership decided that in order for us to reflect more deeply on the events of this week, we begin on Palm Sunday. So let's listen together to what the scripture tells us about Palm Sunday. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they replied, 'The Lord needs it.' And they brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. And as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.'" These are very powerful images for us. We are told that we start in Bethany, a place that was familiar to Jesus. He had friends there. You might remember his friend Lazarus, who he resurrected from the dead. And now he's going to go to Jerusalem, up to Jerusalem. Jesus is making a journey from the familiar, the people he knows, to the unfamiliar, what he will experience in Jerusalem. And Holy Week, I think, invites us on a journey into what might be unfamiliar or even very uncomfortable territory, into a way of living and being that is Christ-like, one that is not often lived and accepted in our world. In fact, a way of living that is countercultural. And it seems to me if we try to live this week deeply, we will be very challenged by what happens as the week goes on. In order to help us, I want today to unpack some of the contrasts of this journey that Jesus makes. And I'm going to call this the three B's, because I'm going to start with behavior, the behavior of the crowds. Notice the crowds. They wanted a political Messiah, a liberator. They'd been suffering under Roman oppression for a long time. And now they think they have found their liberator. They rejoice. They shout out. They welcome Jesus. Notice the hospitality of the crowds in that text. We are told, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices. And yet we know, friends, in a few days' time, they will be unwelcoming and will angrily shout in an inhospitable way, "Take him away, take him away, crucify him." They will reject him. And Jesus knows that. He knows that they cannot see the kind of liberation that he himself brings. He knows that they do not understand him. He knows that he does not fit into their narrow categories of what a liberation fighter is, of who the Messiah is. And because of that, they are fickle. There is a massive gap between their words and their actual belief. They seem to just blow in whichever direction the wind is taking them. And I think that happens to us as well. There is a thin line between hospitality and being inhospitable. So often we are hospitable when we think things conform to our worldview, to our way of understanding, to the way that we believe things are constructed. And when someone suggests that things might just be different, that they might just be another way, we too can be tempted to be inhospitable, to move from hospitality to being inhospitable. You know, in our country at the moment, we are moving towards elections. And I invite you just to listen to the rhetoric that we hear so often. How most of the time there is an inhospitable message that is given to us. And we're invited to be different. We're invited to be hospitable. Because in Holy Week, we meet a God who doesn't fit into our narrow categories. A God whose hospitality far outweighs ours. A God who can see what we cannot see. And so that movement from hospitality to being inhospitable, I think there's an invitation for us to examine our own behavior and to ask ourselves, when I'm confronted, when I'm challenged by someone or something that is not within my own way of thinking, my own categories, can I hold myself open? Or am I fickle like those crowds that Jesus faces? The second thing I want to invite you to notice is the burden, the burden. You know, the colt or the donkey was often used as a mode of transport. It was an animal of burden, an animal of suffering, that it would pull carts with the burdens of people as they move from place to place. Unlike the horse, the donkey was not the animal of the warrior. The warrior rode a horse. The donkey was simple. The donkey, humble and peaceful, used in the ordinariness of everyday life to carry the burdens of others. And Jesus today takes on that image for himself on purpose. He doesn't get onto a donkey just simply by mistake. He gets onto the donkey because he wants us to see him in that very powerful image. And he knows as well that he is fulfilling the prophet Zechariah, the prophecy that tells us, "See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Jesus takes on the burden of our humanity. Jesus tells us, and I don't know how else to put this, but Jesus tells us today that he becomes our personal donkey. He takes on our burdens. We read in the first letter of Peter, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. Our burdens, our burden of sin, our burden of failure, our burden of sadness or depression, maybe our burden of painful, broken relationships, the burden of loss and grief, the burden of circumstances that in one way or another defeat us, the burden of the tilted structures of the world that we inhabit. Jesus, on this Palm Sunday, knowingly and purposefully tells us that the judgment of God is not a God who wags his finger or keeps score, but a God who is willing to take on the weight of our burdens with us. In the whole week ahead, that is what Jesus will do. Take on the burdens we carry if we are willing to give them over to him, to share them with him. And that, friends, is the good news, that we do not walk alone with our burdens, but the Lord takes on the weight of our burdens. I want you to notice something else. I want you to notice the blessing of transformation, the blessing of Jesus' acceptance of what is going to happen during the week. And that blessing of acceptance becomes our blessing, because that blessing opens doors for us. You know, there are many theologies that suggest that Jesus was repaying our burden of debt to an angry God, a God who wanted vengeance for the sin of Adam. Jesus was the scapegoat. And many pre-Christian cultures had rituals involving a scapegoat. They would look at their community and they would notice that in the community there were rivalries and jealousies. There was hatred. There was violence. And they would get a goat. And sometimes they would lay a cloth on that goat and maybe even put a crown on that goat. And they would drive that goat out into the desert to die. And in a way, this was a ritual way of cleansing the community of those rivalries, of those hatreds, of that violence. And amazingly, for a short time afterwards, there would be more unity and perhaps more peace within the group. But eventually, those rivalries and those jealousies, those hatreds, all come back. No real transformation took place. And so the ritual would have to be repeated. Nothing really changed. The goat driven into the desert does not take away the sin of the community. So in what way, for us, is Jesus the Lamb of God? How does Jesus take sin out of the community? Notice, Jesus does not take away the sin of the world by somehow carrying it off so that it is no longer present. It is no longer in the community, because we know that we still sin. But notice what Jesus does. He takes it away by transforming it, by changing it, by taking it inside of himself and transmuting it. And we have an example, many examples of him doing this. But the most important example is at the time of his passion and death, where Jesus prays, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing." Jesus takes away the sin of the community by taking in hatred and giving back love, by taking in anger and giving graciousness, by taking in envy and offering blessing, by taking in bitterness and offering warmth, by taking in pettiness and jealousies and offering back compassion, by taking in chaos and offering back peace, by taking in our sinfulness and offering back forgiveness. That in taking in these things, somehow in his person, Jesus transforms those things and offers something back. Now, this is not an easy thing to do. What comes naturally to us is to give back in kind. We are given hatred and we want to hate. We are made angry and so we want to be cold, or we seek revenge when we are hurt. When someone hits us, we want to hit them back. But notice how that keeps the sin inside of the community. And no scapegoating works, no ritual works, no liturgy works, because there's no real value in changing things because they are not being transformed. We are acting merely as conduits, passing on the identical energy that was pressed onto us. Jesus does something totally different. He takes it in. He holds it, he carries it, and he transforms it, and he gives back as something else. Why? Because the only way that sin can ever leave someone is when they take it, hold it, carry it, and through a certain, maybe even excruciating sacrifice, allow it to be transformed. That it is not something that we take and give back as it is, but something that we allow to be transformed in us, so we give back the opposite. You know, it's easy for us to admire Jesus, and we are asked to continue to become more like God, to give flesh to God in our world, to continue to do what Jesus did. And that's what I want to suggest to you today, that one of our tasks, one of the lessons of this Holy Week, is that we too are invited to take away the sin of the world. Because whenever we take in hatred or anger or envy or pettiness or bitterness, and we give it back as love, as graciousness, as blessing, as compassion, as warmth and forgiveness, then we are transforming that within ourselves, and we are conforming ourselves to Jesus. We are becoming more Christ-like. Jesus shows us in this Holy Week how we too can become a blessing for others. I want to invite you, as we enter into this Holy Week, as we stand on the precipice of Holy Week on this Palm Sunday, to ask yourself, in what ways perhaps is God inviting me to change my behavior, to move from being inhospitable to hospitable, even when it is a huge challenge for me to hear what the other is saying? Listen to someone who is different in the week ahead. In what way might God be inviting you to let go of the burdens that you are carrying, to hand them over, to not try and carry them alone, but to hand them over to a God who simply wants to help us with the weight of our own burdens? In what ways may you be invited, as we begin this Holy Week, to allow yourself to become a blessing to others? Maybe to go to someone who you've had a conflict with and offer forgiveness rather than the cold shoulder, rather than alienation. Maybe someone that you're angry with, go and offer them compassion. This is a huge challenge for us, yet this is the journey that Jesus invites us onto as we begin and live with him through these days to his resurrection. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can begin this week, this challenging week with you. And we pray that you would help us to see where it is you are inviting us to go as we walk with you to Calvary and then to your resurrection. What behaviors we may need to change, what burdens we need to allow you to take from us, ways that we can become a blessing to another because we choose not to give what we have received, but rather to transform it and give back through your grace what you offer us. Bless us as we begin this week and help us to be deeply changed through your journey as we walk with you, as we seek you. So we make this prayer as we do all our prayers, with love and with longing, with desire, in the name of Jesus the Lord. Amen. Friends, receive the blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit come down upon you, remain with you, and be with you now and always. Amen.